Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by 30%.
Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We're really struggling, is what I'm trying to say.
I do feel like he plays us as well, like, and you'd rather it that way round.
There is a step up in the teachers, like you get the fun, Key Stage 1 teachers and Key Stage 2, they do seem a bit more serious.
Sometimes I think you drop them off and I'm like, how was it? You're like, fine. And I'm like, oh, for me,
I want to be homeschooled.
And I was a reception teacher and I would have parents say to me, they're crying at home. But in class, they would be so happy.
Yeah.
I think the most common one is reading. Like, how can I get them reading? Especially with boys. Dare I say it, as a teacher, homework comes home and they really don't want to do it. Don't make them do it.
At senior school, as you walked in, I was just thinking, oh, it's actually made me emotional. I was like, I just hope we've done enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Hi, everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome back to our podcast, What They Don't Tell You.
But we will.
Yes. And today we are so excited to have Sophie David on. She is an early years expert. She is a teacher and she's also a mom. And she is passionate about helping us have stress-free learning with our kids. And so we thought this would be the perfect one for this time of year when it is back to school. So thank you so much for coming on.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Yeah, cannot wait to ask you these questions and get some tips. This morning, literally, I was dropping Jackson off at school and he is just having a meltdown. He's going into year 4, and I actually feel silly because at the beginning of the year I was really smug about, oh, he's going in so easily now he's older. And now I think it's set in that it is every day and
it's forever.
And it's forever.
And he's got no siblings there now, has he, as well?
Yeah. So we're really struggling, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't want to go in.
No, he's just, I think he's never really loved school. Mm-hmm. And this might be something that you see or you get messages about, but a lot of lockdown children are starting school, aren't they? So he was only, I think he was 3 in lockdown.
Yeah.
But even that, I feel like it's having an impact.
Yeah,
on
I think you see it with others
him.
As well, but I do feel like he plays us as well. And you'd rather it that way round, that, do you know what I mean? He makes it out to us that he doesn't like school, because when I pick him up, he always seems like he's happy and he's had a good day. And as the evening goes on, he brings out a little bit more detail. But I think it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just really clever or he is actually hating it.
Sometimes it's for your benefit. So a lot of children, they do it because they want you to think that they're missing them all day. It's like an emotional attachment thing that they want to do. My eldest is in year 4 as well, and he had a really rough start to school. Hated it. So he would have been the same age in lockdown, 3.
Yeah.
Never went to nursery. And then they went into lockdown and he was the happiest child in the world because he was just at home with me. He's in year 4 and we see his in a different way. He'll tell me he's excited to go to school. He's like, I can't wait. But in his behaviours, you can see it. So he gets serious anxiety. He just does not sleep ever.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so
really?
It comes out in these really physical ways with him. But I think a lot of it, in the start, it was definitely for our benefit. So he'd be like, oh, I don't want to go to school today because I just want to be with you. So we learned lots of different things along the way to say in that. So I used to say to him, but when you go to school, you've got lots to tell us when you get back. So all the stories, it's like that absence makes the heart grow fonder. So we always used to say that to him, like, but then when you go, you can tell us everything. Now he's taken that very literally and tells us every single thing about his day.
Oh, that's so good though.
Everything. So I get this from parents. They're like, how do we get them to talk? And I'm like, how do you get them to not stop talking? Yeah, yeah.
It's like one extreme to the other.
Everything. Yeah. But all three of mine are like it. They want to run us through their day. Like,
so nice.
We sat down on the carpet. We had a piece of fruit. I'm like, okay.
It's so hard to not even...
get like, to the part where...
Jackson is a bit like that when he tells a story and his brothers are like, just tell us what happened.
So I think what I'm trying to say in that is that it all comes out in different ways. So right now he's just going into year four, and year four's a big leap because I feel like
work.
It's harder. Yeah. So my eldest is saying that now. He's saying to me, it is a much harder work now. And
yeah.
And I feel like the teachers, as a teacher myself, I know that there is a step up in the teachers. Like, you get the fun Key Stage 10 teachers.
Yes.
And
so true.
And then in Key Stage 2, they do seem a bit more serious. And the teacher that my son's got this year, she does seem a bit more serious. Even with me, I'm a bit like,
I know. Good, well, his teacher said, you know, we expect them to work hard now. This is the homework. And even I was like, oh my God, like, learning through play?
Exactly. And it does feel like a step up. So I think what's really important is our narrative with them to talk at home really positively about school, about homework. And I say it, lots of people hate that I say this, but we quite like homework in our house because we've always built it up to be this like really
fun
thing. Yeah. And it's our time to connect and sort of talk about what they're doing at school. So I think just really try whenever he's saying, I don't want to go, but what do you want to do? What are you excited about today? What do you like learning about? What's your favourite subject? So trying to flip it on his head.
Yeah, we always try to defer it to his friends.
Yeah, you get to play with, you know, Freddie, and you get to,
That's always the bit that they're really, like, my kids always love playtime and lunchtime because they're friends. So if there's any negativity, it usually is around that classroom setting. So I always try and think back to like a fun example. If I had like, I went into school one day and I did not want to go in, and we learned about the Tudors, it's my favourite. So I would then like talk about this lesson that I loved. So try and just add that little bit of like learning fun, bits that you've loved about learning to them, and then they start to pick up on that and start to say it back. So I always just try and say, be as positive as possible, even though it's really hard sometimes.
Yeah, but you've got Emily.
Well, no, I tried to be. I don't know if it is for me, because sometimes I think you drop him off and I'm like, how was it? You're like, fine. And I'm like, for me, he was telling me.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Literally in the car, I was like, I want to be homeschooled. And like, you're like really pulling at my heartstrings to the point where I'm like, maybe I could, maybe I should. Like,
yeah, but then I feel like they open up to you. So you're like, can I say good night to the boys? I'm like, I have. Like, what? That's it? I'm like, yeah, just went and give them a kiss.
It's just like, good night. But I'm like, there for ages, you know.
Yeah,
like,
but then because of it, you've got this relationship where they do open up to you. So it's like, it's nice to have that.
It's good to have the balance. It sounds like me and my husband, I'm very much the over. And he's always the, see you later.
This is nice.
Which is like quite good.
But then I've always, from day one, I've done their injections. As when they was babies, I always had like the horrible job. So like they just associate me with the, oh, he's taking me to places
I don't
want to go.
But I think also from day one, you're back at work.
Yeah.
You know, you have to leave like straight away. So it is different.
They look for you for different things though, parents. Yeah. So like you've got a very different role to what you have like mums and dads. So I think naturally they'll come to you with different things. Like the emotional side, they'll come to the mum. But then playful side, I don't know if that's the same with you guys. But
yeah, they want to.
Yeah, my kids
thrown around.
Yeah, they thrown around. They want to fight. But that's them working out their boundaries as well, isn't it? They're trying to work out like how far they can take it. Yeah. They won't do that with us. They'll do that with you. So I think as parents, we have just very different roles. And it's okay for one of you to be like so super emotive. And they will cry for us. My children are exactly the same. My husband took them to school today. He texts. They all went in fine. But for me, they're like,
they're not,
jittery at the gate. Like, do I have to?
Yeah, it's so true. And then we're left with it all day. Like I'm going to be worried all day. He's probably having a great time.
Oh, 100%.
Do you see that as a teacher? Like,
100%. So I was a reception teacher and I would have parents say to me, they're crying at home. But in class, they would be so happy. Yeah. So as a teacher, what I would do is in that first 2 weeks, I'd send home pictures of them doing something really fun. Nice. Because then what would happen is the child could take the picture home and tell their parent about this really fun. And it starts that really positive language at home around whatever they're doing. I always set up things in the first weeks as well. They make a new friend and they get to take home like a fact file about their new friends and stuff, so they've got this like language and discussions with their mums and dads, because it makes a huge difference with home time. I know how hard it is when your child's saying, I hate school, I don't want to go, and it's awful, and my teacher says it, but then in school we're seeing a different child completely.
Which is how you want it, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I would say rather than play us up than the teachers and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just, I think it just, you're their safe place, aren't you? So I've read this so many times over the years that I used to think, what am I doing? Why are they crying with me so much? But they'd even go to my mum, and mum would be like, they'd have a brilliant day, and then I'd get in and they would be sobbing. Like, they've had the worst day. And I've done lots of reading on it. It's because you're their safe space. It's where they can let out all their emotions and tell you exactly what's in their mind. So it's a good, it's a positive thing, even though it feels like a really negative thing sometimes.
Yeah, so true.
Sophie, you should probably tell us a bit about you, what you actually do now, what you have done.
Okay, so I was a primary school teacher, an early year specialist, and now I run a business called Little Happy Learners. It started as like a little corner of the internet where I would just share lots of activities, and it started very extravagantly, actually. I think during lockdown I'd make like huge massive things out of cardboard, and it was very eccentric. But then now I don't have much time, so the eccentric cardboard play is not there anymore. But my first book was all, you know, making crafts and activities and sprinkling a little bit of learning. That was called How to Create Little Happy Learners, and it was just how to bring learning into your play with things you have at home, cardboard, toilet rolls, you know, all those just things you have lying around, and think, oh, I'll keep that egg box for something, don't know what. And then it has evolved as my children have got older. I've managed to sprinkle in a little bit more learning, and now we do lots of phonics stuff. And I think what I've found over the years is that parents, you're sort of thrust into school and into this education setting and have no knowledge of how our children learn to read and write. And I wanted to give parents an insight, give them that knowledge and that toolkit to be able to come away and support their children at home. So then it's become more of like a hub for phonics as well. Now we sell resources and still share lots of crazy crafts we do at home with my boys and with my little girl. But yeah, it's evolving all the time.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I love the content that you put out, because like you say, when you're trying, you have this baby. And I mean, I don't know how to teach someone how to read or how to write. And also it's a lot of the things that we didn't, it's learning in a completely different way. Like phonics is not something that we had as kids. Like I learned the alphabet and then, I don't know, that was about it. So even when it came to phonics, I was like, am I doing this right? Like, I don't really know how to do this. So your content is amazing. And it's really fun and creative. Like all the displays you do and the games that you do. It's so nice as a mum, because...
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like, I'd like to think I'm creative. I'd like to think I'm that mum, or I try to be. But it's really hard. Like, there's no time, and there's, and that autumn board you did the other day of like, like it was like bucket list things to do in autumn. I was like, I just want that for myself. I was like, I want to bake a pie and I want to like do
it's
all
more
these
for me. That one.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I want to do this.
My children, you just gotta hope the kids like it.
Yeah, yeah, well, and they've gone to school, so then I love the changing seasons. And so where I've had them at home all this time, I've always just really like sort of thrown ourselves into season changes and done lots of things. And now they're all in school, I'm like, I'm going to miss out on all of this thing. I'm not going to be able to go and collect conkers. And
So it
was more for me. And then I get to drag them along for the rides and hopefully they like it. My son always already said to me, I'm not going out and collecting conkers in the rain.
Oh. So
it's already, I'm getting pushback, but it's more for me to just keep that alive. I really want to make sure that I can try and get them off screens and like spend that time with me as much as possible while I've got them little.
And like, it's almost quite a nice tick list as well. Like in the summer, I always feel like we've had a few summers in the past where we have actually done a lot, but you get to the end of it and your child might say, oh, I really had wanted to go to the beach, or I really want, and you're like, well, summer's done now. Like, so it's a quite nice way of like making sure you're like ticking boxes and not ticking boxes, but you're making those memories and you're making 100%. The most of it. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So that's why this year we did a summer wall. So I did like a scrapbook, but we stuck it all on the wall because last year they went back after the summer, we'd been on holiday, we'd done all these things. And I heard his teacher say, did you have a nice summer? And is it right?
Like, we've done so much.
Yeah.
So this year I'm like, you will see what we've done.
Yeah, put it on this board. I'm trying so hard
Like, stuck pictures on the website. And we sat down on at the end of the summer and I was like, look at all the things that we've done. And
they're
like,
good great. For you, yeah, though.
Like, appreciate what you've got. But also just remember that it is like, it's not just all right. We're making memories here. Yeah. We are trying
But they don't know, do they? And that's the hardest bit. And it's like, do we just give them nothing so they then appreciate what they did have, like, for a few years?
But I think when they will realize, you know, everything we've done, everything we've tried is when they become parents.
Yeah. No, this is what my husband says to me. And I'm like, I've got to wait that
long. It's too late. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think when we first had a baby, I then text my mum spoke to my mum. And I thanked her. I was just like, I've realized what you've done. But I was like, 30. Yeah,
it's taken 30 years for you to
get. You sort of think, too late. All the sleepless nights and all the nappies, you're like, wow, like my mum did this. Yeah, it's a lot.
My mum did it 5 times.
Wow. Yeah.
She's a super
woman. Okay, wow. So you raised yourself.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, because our third is definitely raising himself. I'm just kidding.
They do. They just come along for the ride, though, don't they? And the more you have, the more you realise that you can become more hands-off. I think there's a beauty in that, though. Like, I look back on how I parented my first and I think, my gosh, no wonder he has crippling anxiety.
He's also a bit younger than us, but the prime example is bedtime, like what time they go to bed. So like our 9-year-old now, I mean, he probably goes to bed at 8:30, 9.
Yeah.
But like I remember our eldest, when he was going to bed at 7 o'clock because that's when the others were going.
Oh, mine still are. I've got an 8, a 7, and a 8.
Yeah, because
For us, it sort of went on and on, but...
But you see your youngest when he... Is it a girl?
She's 4. And she's already watched like Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows. And I'm like, I would never have dreamed of letting...
You can't. People say you've got to bring them up the same. Like you can't. The dynamic. You just can't parent them the same.
It changes, doesn't it? I would never have dreamed of thinking that she would be watching Harry Potter, but. I mean, she's not watching it. She's in the room.
Yeah. But it's a bit creepy.
But Voldemort, I think I'm scared. I'm like, how is she watching this and okay with it?
It's
You parent so differently and you have to change. And all of your children, I don't know about you, but all three of mine are completely different.
Yes.
So we can't parent them the same. So I've always set out and said, I want them all to feel like we treat them exactly the same. You just can't because they all need such different things from us.
Yeah, it's so true. Like we obviously have three boys, so we get this question about, you know, the girl question all the time, but we're like, no, but they're so different though. It's not like we've got three exact same babies. Like they're all very different personalities. So it is like you're getting that completely different experience.
Yeah. I wish they were all the same.
Yeah.
It would be so much easier.
Exactly.
Not saying which one I would choose. Yes. But,
No, you can't say that.
You can't say that. This is being filmed right now. But in the work that you do, do you find that parents have the same pressures? They're coming to you with like, do you know, I'm really struggling with this type of learning or, you know, this.
Yeah. There's really common ones. I think the most common one is reading. Mm. Like, how can I get them read? Especially with boys, I hate to say it, but it's a thing. And it is. It's a known thing in the education world that our boys, to get them writing and reading, it's really, really difficult. So I get that probably multiple times a day I'll have a mum message me, my son won't read his book, or there's a reluctance to read at home. My 8-year-old, he's a very, very good reader, just doesn't enjoy it at all. And it pains me because I love reading, and I know how important it is to get them to read for their literacy skills. We want them reading as much as possible. But there's this pressure around it. I think I've bought every chapter book I can imagine. I'm like, do you like this one? No. Do you like this one? No.
Yeah.
So it is really hard. So he loves being read too. Yeah. So there's a joy in that. And I think the pressure around educators to say you need to read with them every day, they need to, that's not necessary. They need to enjoy literacy and enjoy stories and storytelling, but it doesn't have to be them physically reading the book. We want them to read a bit, obviously, but if they're enjoying stories, like I read a chapter book to my boys every single night. We read a chapter every night. They love it.
Yeah.
They will read bits back to me. My husband is just like a storyteller, so he'll make up stories and act them out with them. That is storytelling. So
yeah.
I think I always just say, try and take that pressure away and make it more fun in your house. So it doesn't have to be them reading. Mm. And one thing that we do in our house when they're really like, please don't make me read, I'm like, okay, it's hide and seek reading. So they take a book and they go and hide somewhere and we have to find them. We take a really long time. So naturally they're stuck somewhere with a book. They can either sit there in their own
board and
not do it. With a torch, head torch or anything, or a book light. They can either choose to just sit and do nothing, or 9 times out of 10 they would choose to read it. And then we'll go and find them a little bit later. And it's just a nice way. We used to do it in school. It was called extreme reading. So we'd say, go and find somewhere extreme to read. And they'd like go up a tree or, you know, hide in a tunnel or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do that at home and it does work. 9 times out of 10
I'll try that with a 14-year-old.
I mean, I don't know if it'll work.
No, but I think Jackson would actually love that, especially if there was like a torch and the, I don't know.
Like we got them head torches and they like, think it's,
Oh my God,
because every now and then he's like, I don't want to read out loud. I'm like, well, don't make him. I'm like, it's fine, you can sit and read yourself.
You can read in your head. But then sometimes I feel like you read that page really quick.
He loves to read a comic out loud, though. Yeah. He's got, like, anything like that, he loves because he gets into the characters. But actually, the school book is a bit like...
School books are dry, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
There needs to be someone that invents some really fun school books, because they are. Yeah. And even chapter books. I'm yet to read one that's hooked me from start to finish. And, I think with them... I think boys, it's just really hard to get them. They're really active, aren't they? So they just really want to be up and moving. My daughter is the same. She'll be a footballer, I'm sure. But she's very active too, so I'm pretty sure I'll have the same struggles. But it is mainly around reading. And then we also get the regular ones where parents are saying, my child's struggling in school and I don't know how to help them. And really it's unpicking why they're struggling. And a lot of the time it comes from confidence. And I think the best thing for us to do as parents is to try and build them up as much as possible. And my advice always with someone that's struggling, especially phonics or maths, always go back to the stage they can do before you start getting them to do the stage that they're supposed to be doing. So if it's like looking at number bonds to 10, take them back to really simple adding so they're getting it right and they get that confidence, build it up, and then go back to that and start with that later on. Because it's often because there's just this lack of confidence in what they're doing. Think of us as adults. The things we will be reluctant to do are the things that we're not so confident to try. So it is just about building that confidence, I think, with anyone.
Probably talk transitions. Your daughter, she just started, so obviously even
she's a reception.
Our middle boy's just started secondary school. Is there any signs to look out for that a child is struggling with that kind of transition?
It's different for every child, and I think they all show their struggles in different ways. The most common way that a child will show their struggling is by saying, I don't want to go to school. I'm like, please don't make me. I hate school. And start speaking really negatively. But like I said earlier, my children won't say those things to me. They don't say, I don't want to go. They'll be telling me they're really, really excited. But all three of mine are struggling and showing it in different ways at the moment. So my eldest, he just won't sleep. He has something called psychosomatic anxiety, which sounds really, really... sounds quite
brutal. He doesn't like marshmallows.
But it's actually just that he gets really physical reactions to anxiety. So he'll get an upset tummy, headaches, and just can't sleep. So his will show in different ways like that. But what he's verbalizing to me is just, I'm okay. I want to go. I'm excited. And then I have to unpick it with him. And I'm like, so is your tummy hurting? He'll be like, a little bit. So then we can unpick it. My middle son, complete opposite. He will just want us. who wants all the attention, who's very, very needy.
Yeah.
And he'll just want us to, so after school, it's just drop everything and you have to build something with Lego or go and paint something with him. Yeah. Because otherwise, if we don't, we'll get meltdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest, she's so good at verbalizing.
Oh.
And she'll say, my tummy's telling me that I don't want to go today. And I'll be like, okay.
Aww.
But the reason why I think she's so good at verbalizing is because she's heard us talk to the boys about it. So we're very open. So I think with struggling with school, there's like three things, and any kind of anxiety, three things you want them to do. You want them to talk about it. You then want to validate how they're feeling. And then you want to tell them and label that feeling. With anxiety and struggling, I always try and flip it on its head. And that's because I've had anxiety throughout my whole life. I think I got it when I was a teenager and I still get it now. I have to say that, label that feeling and go, I've got like butterflies in my tummy. Why? So the reasons why we get that anxiety feeling is not always because we're worried. Sometimes it is because you're excited, because it's something new. So I now try and say to the children, are you worried about something specific? So then they'll probably go, no, it's just a feeling. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you know that feeling is worry and it's not that you're feeling excited? And they find that really hard to like try and comprehend.
Yeah.
So it almost overwrites this worry and makes them think, maybe I am just excited, maybe it is just the change. So I think it's really good. You just have to validate how they're feeling, like often give them an example of how you've had dealt with that, or if you've had an experience of starting school, making friends, and then it really does help them just sit in it. But I think this is where our over emotional side comes through. I like to overthink everything and over talk everything, whereas my husband's like,
get on with it.
Don't talk about it.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yes, see, I'm terrible for that. And then I make scenarios in my head, or sometimes I feel like I'm prompting him. I'm like, is someone bullying you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I've just put that idea
in your head.
He's like, yes.
Someone is actually.
Yes. Yeah. If that means I can stay home, yes, they are. Like,
Teddy, and then I think, you haven't got Teddy in your class.
Like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I'm terrible for. But then I think I have anxiety, especially when they're young. I had anxiety around them going.
Yeah.
So they probably felt it as well.
Yeah, they feed off of us.
It rubs off on them, yeah.
But that's okay, because you can use that now to your advantage with them and explain it to them. I think our natural way of being is to try and shield them from our emotions. Like, I'm upset because of this, or I'm angry. But I will actually say to my kids now, and I'm really trying to work with it, I'm a naturally quite shouty person. So I have to try to really channel that and be like, okay, I'm feeling angry now. Mummy needs 5 minutes. So then they'll be like, no, you can't have 5 minutes. And I'm like, it's not a punishment. I just need to go and breathe.
Yeah,
so I think sitting with your emotions and saying, you know, I felt really anxious when you started school because of this, but now I know you love it. So I don't get those feelings anymore.
Mm.
It kind of just lets them understand that they're human and these feelings are really normal.
Yeah.
My eldest will say things when he's like at the height of his anxiety. He'll say, why am I like this? No one else is.
Oh, bless
so
him.
When he started saying that to us, we'd be like, no, but
lots of people are.
Yeah. So I think really unpicking that with him and saying, we've had this person, we've seen this person deal with it. It's really helped him to realize that it's not like this weird abstract way of feeling that lots of people get it. And I think it's helped him. So I think put yourself, if your son is saying, I'm feeling worried or I don't want to go, say, I didn't ever want you to go, but now you go, I know that you love it. And it really makes me happy that you go and enjoy it. And I think it makes you happy too. And like, just try and speak about how it's impacted all of you.
Yeah.
And I think little things as well that I've noticed is like, being in a rush in the morning really sets them off.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we try to, don't we, get everything ready the night before.
Yeah.
Like, we tried to get up early. We tried to do the breakfast. We tried, because I feel like if we're rushing, if we're like, quick, you got 10 minutes to get ready. You got to do your teeth. You got to do your hair. Then everyone is stressed and then it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that is a tip from us, isn't it?
But
it still happens.
It still happens. But like, it's good to be prepared.
Oh, for sure. Sometimes I'm like, you've got 10 minutes to get ready. But I'm like trying to be calm about it. But I'm also like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But Yeah, rushing doesn't help, does it? It's not a good
one. No, I'm not good with being late either. So if I'm rushing, they feel it and they're like,
Yeah, then you're stressed. Everyone's stressed. It's not good, is it? But your page has so many good ideas, like for learning. And obviously we'll put your details in the description and everything. But I was going to say, how do you come up with these ideas? Obviously people can, you're a teacher. But then also, how do you know, I suppose, like what stage they're at, like how do you get them to learn through play like so well, and do you spend loads of time a day like doing learning with them, or what do you think, parents?
I don't spend lots of time doing it with them. I try to do it as much, so what I do is we play and then I try to add a bit of learning in, so I don't necessarily, sometimes I plan it. And I'll plan different things in. So this week, because we've been back to school for a full week, I've tried to plan something after school every day. So we're doing sort of autumn things. So on Tuesday, we did like a little painting activity and the boys had to, I wrote lots of numbers down.
That looks so good.
Yeah, and stuck a stick to a piece of card and then just put lots of numbers on it. And they had to fingerprint the multiples of the different numbers. So my eldest did multiples of 7, 9 and 11. And then my middle child did 2s, 5s and 10s. And then my daughter just did paint by numbers. They loved it. And they, I think that's probably the first time in a long time that they've all just sat down and all I could hear was, that's not a multiple of 7, 7, 14, 21. And like actually really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So I think I try, they asked me to paint. So I then went, okay, how can I put a bit of learning into that? Quite often they'll say, can we bake? So I then just write out the ingredients and they have to measure it. And then we'll do a bit of maths alongside that. With reading and writing, spellings we do, they have every week. So I try and just make a game out of it. I know they say you shouldn't get your children to compete, but mine are very competitive and really enjoy it.
I think we are living in a world, aren't we, now where like nothing's
don't
competitive.
Let them compete.
Can't have a winner.
Get my children compete.
Oh, yeah.
I think they love it. Boys, especially, I think they just love going head to head. So with spellings.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good I literally just tell them their spellings and then they try and beat each other. And then and then we time them. And then they will carry on going until they get 12 out of 12 because they're like, I am not getting worse than him.
Yeah.
And it's great because now every week they're like, we're doing a spelling test. And this is something they enjoy. Love it. It's odd, but they love it. But if your children don't like that, I do spellings in the shower. That's always a really good one. So even with your oldest, I'm not sure your 15-year-old will do this. But mine love it. We get like foam sheets and we write their spellings on the foam sheets in Biro because you can put it in the bath or shower. This would be great for your 9-year-old. And then I get them to either put the letters up together to spell it, or I say the word and they have to find it and things like that. Showers and bath times.
Love like a bit of water. It's really good.
So my eldest, he'll always ask me, even now, he's like, can you make shaving foam paint? Because he just loves doing that in the shower. So he'll write on the shower window with the shaving foam paint, because we just put a bit of colouring in it. And then he just writes on the window, and it's just a tick that they're in the shower, they're washing.
Oh my god, I'm gonna do that. That is such a good one.
And they're doing their spelling. So what we tend to do is just try and make it so that they don't even realise that they're doing a homework activity.
Like learning.
And also, dare I say it, as a teacher, homework comes home and they really don't want to do it, don't make them do it. I just don't believe in it. If they don't want to do it, I live with the premise that if you enjoy learning, you will never stop. If you don't enjoy it, it becomes a chore and it's just, you lack that motivation. So if they're saying they don't want to read to them. If they are saying they don't want to do their homework, just don't do it. Try and find another way of doing something similar. Just practice those skills at home. But
if you don't want to do that, then let's do something rather than just,
exactly. So if they really like football, something we do with times tables. So in year four, I think it's either year four or year five, they do a times tables test.
He does them.
So I think it's this year. So they have a test at the end of the year. So I do penalty shootouts with them and I tell them a times table and they can't shoot until they get it right.
Good.
So it's just a way of adding movement into it. And sometimes
I
have to.
You're
have
no
them
good at football or
times tables.
Not times tables.
I have to write the times tables out.
You have to do that one. I'll do the shamey foam in the bath.
That. There's like loads of different ways that you can just sprinkle it in a little bit. And
I love that because, as well, I think what our kids want more than ever is us. They just want our time. So if you're also like really involved, whereas, you know, they get homework, you got to print off. and then they sit at the table on their own. Like, it's like there's no appeal, is there? It doesn't sound fun, does
it? It's no appeal for the parent or the child.
Yeah.
Or, what I'm often met with is then they go, I don't have time to do that. But in the time that it's taking you to print off the homework,
but if you're bathing them anyway, because you've got to bath them. Exactly. You know, so.
They have to have a bath or a shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also in the time that it's taking you to struggle to get them to sit at a table it, you might as well have just gone, grab the football, go outside, we'll do some times tables.
Yeah, it's only been 10 minutes.
I've hidden some post-it notes around the house. I want you to go and get them and I want you to line them up so they make a sentence. Like, it's really, it can be simplified and it can be fun. It is just finding it. So my book, Read, Write, Play, is a shameless plug, but it's got like so many activities. It's up to year two, so age 7, but you can use all of the ideas in them for all the way up to age 15, probably.
Yeah.
But like so many in them that it's just things that you've got around the house. I've tried to base it around like 10 objects that you have, like cups and baskets or plates or bowls and post-it notes, just things that you'll have around the house that you can use and you can have an activity at your fingertips, because it's so hard. One, I know how time poor we all are, but also to think of it off the top of your head.
Yeah, so, it is. Yeah. It is
when
really
you're
hard.
Juggling life's stresses and then you've got a kid that's
reluctant to do it. My kids, thankfully, I think it's just me drilling it for the whole life. They will say to me, Mummy, we have to do homework.
Yeah, that's so nice. That's really
it's
good.
It's me going, no, please.
Yeah.
It's worked.
It has. I am the homework person in the house. My husband's very much the fun person. So then we sometimes cross over, but quite rare.
Yeah. So for normal people's kids that don't want to learn, how do we avoid it being such a chore? I mean, you've kind of answered that by obviously getting outside and making it fun.
No, but I do, even just listening to her, I feel like, I feel motivated now. Because as well, I think at some schools, like our son's school, they didn't have to do homework, but now it's year 4, like they have to. So I feel
do they have to? What's going
to
happen
fair,
if he does
so
them?
They've all gone to the same primary school.
They're pretty chill.
And like, our eldest, like they're not really big on homework at their school. They do it, but you don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. And like it's kind of suited us. I know it doesn't suit all children. But then now you look at our eldest at secondary school, he does his homework.
Yeah, he's really good.
That's amazing though, because that's the intrinsic motivation. That's not you going, you've got to do this. That's him going, probably should.
He needs your nudge, but generally he gets it done.
Well, as an adolescent, that's incredible, isn't it? That he's got this.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what then. He's just started GCSEs.
But he is like quite hardworking. Like, he's GCSEs now, and we had this information night the other night, and he had to come, we had to listen. And, you know, they were sort of saying that year 10 isn't just a free ride, it's like it starts now kind of thing.
I feel that's so much pressure though,
it's so much pressure. But Fraser, he did come away from that going like, right, I need to like lock in, I need to get on with it, you know. He was like, he was in, but I feel like it could go so the other way.
That's testament to you guys though, because
when it goes right, you say, oh, this is testament to us, and when it goes wrong, you're like, oh, it's just like one of those things.
And
like,
it's just character, but that is testament to you guys, because he's come away from that. There's probably a lot of children that come away from that going
stressed. I was thinking this is stressing me out.
One thing he wasn't impressed by, but I actually liked, is the head of year said about phones in their bedrooms of a night time. And like, we'd never had it up until recently. He started having it in his, he just leave it downstairs, but he actually started having it in his room, charging his room. And so last night I put it on him. I was like, mate, we're going to go with what your head of year said, and we're going to, your phone's got to be out of your room at the night time. Because he's just now that age, you know what I mean, girls and whatever.
I think it's so tempting.
How did he react to that?
Well, to me, so I said to her, I'm going to go in and break the news.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On The Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
To me, it's there we go. Injections. I took the phone out, took the charger out of his room, and he was like, oh, okay. Like, but he was fine. But then she comes and she went, he's not happy about that. I was like, you didn't tell me that.
He went to me, why is Dad crashing out about my phone? Oh, wait, okay, I just said that.
I said it so calmly as well. I was just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to go. They've said it. Like, at least, I think.
It's quite nice that the teacher said
it. You should put it on her. And she said this is about school is about home life as much as it is about when they're here. And it's true, isn't it?
And
our kids, obviously they don't know, but they're so fortunate that they have us on board. There's so many kids that don't have that.
Oh, 100%,
And when you were a teenager, I mean, if I had like sort of woken up at 3 a.m., maybe I might have just gone because it's right there and it's so tempting.
Do you have your phones in the room?
Well, yes. So I was saying we should get like an old alarm clock and put ours in the hallway.
Yeah, that's the only because reason why we have it.
It's the alarm, but like we can get an alarm clock. So I think we should do that.
So Adam and I both said that we actually do at the moment. We charge our phones, but if you want, I always think as well, if you want them to do it, you kind of have to do it yourselves as well. So my sister does it. So my sister's daughter, my niece is 15 in October, and she said that ever since they gave her a phone, they just now have this little cupboard,
like an area.
So when we renovated, like we've put a cupboard on their landing, and I've had power put in it.
Oh, amazing!
And
so you can charge it.
Yeah, so there's like plugs in there. It's like right, your phone's going there, so they're still upstairs. Yeah. Like, especially for us, if someone calls us an emergency, or whatever. But yeah, we'll see how it pans out. But I said to him, look, let's just do it.
I think it'll probably be good for everyone. We say it all the time, and we haven't done it yet. But as soon as we say it, we should start now so that our children see these kind of behaviours that we're setting the standard for them for using our phones.
Well,
I'm terrible on my phone, and I can I hands up and say that I am because. It's your job, but then that's also
that's how you justify it. You're like, well, I'm working,
but I do say that.
We always brag that we don't have TVs in our room. I was such amazing.
Oh, parents.
We don't have TVs, but actually, the phones like that's the modern day TV. Yeah. Like, no one wants TV in their room because it's like, oh, I don't want to watch.
Yeah. You know? It's hard. It's like the phone thing, I think, is a really hard one. We have to educate ourselves on it, but this is all uncharted territory. We've never done it before. Like you guys are, I'm actually really glad that you guys have had older children before I have, because I can hopefully then learn from stuff from you.
It's
the same from my sister. I feel like I've learned a lot from her already that I know I will do with them, and I'm really hoping by the time my kids have them, Nokias will be cool.
They're coming back a bit, I think. A lot of schools are banning smartphones anyway.
And I'm hoping by then it will be, because I do see that it is the culture of phones, it's really difficult, isn't it? But it's screens in the whole, like not just phones, it's tablets, I don't know how you guys are we've got a Switch, we've got a Nintendo Switch, and we watch TV, but I mean, I try and put loads of boundaries in place, so my eldest is not allowed to play the Switch until he's done something educational. But
well,
one of his friends has got it in their bedroom, and they play it all
night.
Oh,
that's the hardest bit, isn't it? It's like there's different rules in every house, and then my... the middle will be like, oh, can I go around Sam's house? And I know it's because he's got it in his bedroom as well. He's like, can we not stay here? Can we stay at his? And to be fair, it's quite nice that he can go and do that. He can get that fix. He's not working 24/7 here.
True. That is nice to have the flex of it. That's what's difficult. I say to my children now, you better get comfortable with the fact that other people will have things that you don't.
Because
you have to sit with it, and I had it when I was a kid.
Well, sometimes I'll say, "Do you think that's a good idea?" Non-stop fizzy pop all day long is a good idea.
Well, they used to go. One of them goes to a club, and like it would take turns and take them to the club, and their parent obviously took them to the shop and just let them buy whatever. Fine, that's their rules. You know what I mean? So like he was like, "Who's taking us there?" We're like, "Me." Be like, what you bring it? Especially if I was taking like 3 or 4 of them, I'd just take all the snacks in the drawer that none of the kids eat. Do you know what I mean? All the plain flavoured crisps, everything. Do you know what I mean? Whereas with his dad, they'd just go to the sweet shop and get a can of drink and whatever.
Adam, with the fizzy drinks and food and stuff, my kids will ask for it. And so Adam always goes, "Do you think that's what Declan Rice drink?"
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Exactly. I loved it when Ronaldo. Did you see famously?
Oh, with Coke.
There was a Coke in front of his. It was really bad because he was sponsored by what Coke, wasn't it?
No.
The whole event was sponsored by Coke. So there was a Coke right in front of him where he sat down, and he sat down at the microphone there, and he took the Coke and he put it in, and he went, "Drink agua," like that.
Drink water.
He was like, not like. He says he's obviously like, you can't you can't drink that and be like athletic.
In front of one of the most famous athletes in the world.
I think the sponsors really kicked off, but I was like, good for you.
Yeah, that's true. Well, this is what he always puts it. He puts it on footballers and he's like, do you think that's what they do? So now my middle son particularly goes, I'm not doing that. He'll go to me, how much protein's in this?
Yeah.
But it's just that it's what great... you tell them. It's what you're putting into them and the knowledge that you're giving them. Especially around food and things like that.
And you'll never get thanked for that, because when they're older they won't really know any different.
I think they will notice. You know, like I know when I went off to university, you know, you're cooking and you know everything for yourself. After a week, you are a bit like, oh, I don't feel so good.
Yeah, and then when we go away, if we hang out with people and they do have different boundaries and their kids do eat a load more sugar, not that ours are perfect, they have some. But that even they say, did you see how many like packs of Haribo he had? And like,
They do notice.
Yeah,
but that's why I think like all the habits that we're doing at a young age, like especially like you with the learning, like all those habits are. You will feel the benefits of that when they're older.
When they're older, I'm hoping so.
You absolutely will. You really, really will. Is there any other tips that you have for like making back to school like smoother or anything else?
Just, I think you've said it before, our children, what they want most is our time. Yeah. So what we definitely do is just try and... It's really hard when you're a working parent, you've got a 9-to-5 job and you've got to try and give time as well. But I think it's just really important to give that time. So spend less time making like gourmet meals. This week, I think my children have, I actually planned their meals this week to be like chicken nuggets and chips, pizza. Yeah. Yes. And like, we'll make them together. So they're still like super healthy, but I know that they'll eat them, one, and then we won't then have meltdowns because they're hungry. Because how hungry are they when they get back to school?
So much. They're so exhausted as well, aren't they?
Because we're lucky we're around. We do like an early dinner time.
Yeah, we do that as well.
And then we say, you can have not as many snacks as you like, but like feel free to eat snacks after. I think they'll have one snack when they get in, a bit of fruit or something. Then we're like, right.
We've still got the 7 o'clock bedtime, which I really
oh my god,
I really love.
I'm so jealous.
Our kids
I'm
go
so
to bed not
jealous.
Later than us, but we have to but say we're going to bed.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
but our eldest is like, we're like all going to bed at 10 o'clock, and I'm
and like, there's no time anymore. How have you navigated that?
I think we're going to have to start having like a regular date night, because you know you used to get that time.
Yeah, the time
together.
Yeah,
and you don't realise, but that was a date, wasn't it? Like,
two hours looking
at your phone next to each other.
Watching
on the sofa. Yeah, so we just don't watch any TV really because of it. But then we get work done and stuff in.
I do in the evenings. Yeah. I work, so that's why I think I would struggle, because. Well, now I've got lots more time to work, haven't I?
Yeah, because they're at school. Yeah, but those something about those 6 hours, like they're not real 6 hours. They just go. You're like, where do they go?
But yeah, I think we do an early bedtime. That's but we also do an early dinner, so then they can snack and we do that. But that is something that we're really conscious of in these first few weeks going back to school, that we know that the evenings they're so tired, they're so hungry, so we just try and give them some time. And they're all are so different, aren't they? Like my youngest, she just wants to like veg out, and she wants us to read books to her, and she wants to go upstairs and play with her dolls and stuff. So with her, we just kind of let her be, and she'll just potter in and out. But my middle son, very demanding, he wants to cook dinner with us, so we just have to give him that time. And my eldest, if he could, he'd play Nintendo for the rest of his life. So we have to just give him those boundaries. But I think it's just being really careful and not walking on eggshells, but knowing that they're going to be a little bit more emotional, and those emotions come out in different ways. So just try and tap into it and talk to them as much as possible and spend as much time with them.
No, I really like that tip, because if you know they're going to kick off when you put shepherd's pie in front of them, like, don't do it this week.
I was one of five girls, so you can imagine the hormones in our house.
I remember it was five girls.
And I can remember very vividly coming home and being like, what's for dinner, mum? And you know, you'd be like, I want a jacket potato, I want chicken goujons, and she'd be like, it's chicken casserole. And we'd be like,
chicken casserole, that's my mum.
I love a casserole. It's like throw it in and it's done. But honestly, I still remember it. So in my head, I always just think, chicken casserole, don't be a chicken casserole, be something.
So they're feeding with your mum and dad together as well. So there's seven of you. So they're effectively feeding seven. So you probably always had the same thing, didn't you? Never
Never really. It was always My mum was always like, we had set nights. You know, we had like fajita night.
Yes.
You'd be excited for those nights. You'd be never excited for a chicken casserole night. No, and it would just be when the day when you really just want to come home and eat something stodgy. Yeah. And it would be that. But yeah, I was one of five, so it was just madness. Yeah. Can imagine.
Yeah.
Like how you get, did you want to get my dad?
Yeah. For the whole life. Well, that's it. They probably all look to him. Like,
how many grandsons has he got?
Okay, so there's 15 grandchildren now.
Blimey. Yeah. Three each, pretty much.
Oh, and so he's
one
got
of
boys.
My sister's had five.
Wow. She loved it.
She loved it.
She's like, I don't feel normal without chaos.
I would have carried on, but Adam's like, no.
Oh, I would have.
You all get together at Christmas.
So every Tuesday we go to my mum's and have nanny dinner. One of my sisters lives in Australia, so it's two of the my nieces live there.
That's so nice.
I think there's five boys.
Wow, that's good. So he's got the boys now.
He's got six boys now.
I bet he loved it though.
Oh, he did. And people go, did you always want a boy? And he'd be like, no, not really.
No.
But the next thing they'd say, your poor dad.
I know.
Five girls.
So I get that. It's all aimed at me.
He's going to be looked after by five women.
Oh my God,
he's
so well looked after. Because I worry when we're old, I'm like, will anyone visit me?
Yeah, well, we often go, oh, no, I think he'll be the one that looks after us, or him.
Caleb's really loved, like, I feel like maybe Caleb, I don't know. What do you think?
He's also the one that's most keen to get out the door.
Yeah.
Like, he only says he loves you when he's going on a sleepover around his mates who's got a screen in his room.
I love you, but I really love the screen.
Yeah, I love it more. Yeah, you guys are boring.
It's like an experiment, we'll find out, won't
we? Yeah.
Fast forward 10 years.
Yeah.
Is there anything parents overthink when it comes to school prep?
Everything. My daughter's just started, so I think that I can, and I've been there, I've been a teacher, and I've been on this side of it as a parent twice. And I think I thought everything. I think she's got like four pinafore dresses, like six skirts, like you overthink everything, don't you? And I think I overthought how she would feel, and then I think naturally that can sometimes rub off on them, can't it? Because then you overthink, like, are they going to cope with this? She has only ever done like a full day at nursery, so she's never done full days. And this Wednesday was her first full day, and I was like, she's going to hate it. She's gonna, and she's fine. She just ran in. It's like, bye, mum. Great. Aww. So I think we overthink everything as parents, but I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's our prerogative, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is our prerogative at this point. Like, we're sending our children off into like sort of a world that we don't know. Even like with you guys in secondary school, I can't comprehend that for me. Like, I just think for them that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then for you guys it's huge too, because
it's such a massive shift, because it is so different. You just, you sort of just drop them off. Like, you don't even get out. You don't even get out and walk to get... You don't know the other parents.
It's also... what I think's weird. Like, you start in primary and you build these relationships with parents and the teachers and you see them, and then you always almost just have to drop them off and go, okay, you're out in the big world now.
You know,
I won't know anyone.
I've honestly felt like when we dropped off our first son who started at senior school, as he walked in, I was just thinking, oh, it's actually made me emotional. I was like, I just hope we've done enough.
Yeah, you don't find out until he gets here, though, do you?
Yeah. I know. Sorry, I'm getting emotional.
Right, good for views. Come on.
Turn it on. No, but you're just true. Like, oh, just hope, like, be nice.
Yeah, be nice to them. I think my main thing, and when you go on that first parents' evening, what you really want is the teachers to say they're kind. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
I don't want to know, like, academically, obviously, you want them to do well, but that's not my main priority. No, I want to know that they're kind to others and that they're making friends and that they're sort of just happy. That's all you really want to know. And I think it does come back to that. Have you done enough as a parent to set them up in this big new world for them?
Yeah, no pressure.
But in secondary, it's more so, I think, because I think there is a negative view of secondary school, isn't that, like, your child's going to change forever. But I think with you guys as parents, that you've instilled this in them, I think, that they'll just come out as good.
But it's
good
hard.
Lads.
You're like, then you hope, like, all the influences around them, like,
What was it, influencers?
No.
They've got influencers around
no,
them.
No, like,
well, they all have.
They're friends. Like, your friends. You're like, peers. Oh, please. Like, especially Caleb started this year, he's always like loved a bit of trouble. Like, yeah. You know, like at party.
You've always got one of those,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, like, but they go to the park and they even make best friends or enemies. There's nothing in between. It's not like just...
I think it's a middle child thing. Yeah. It must be like, because my middle's like that too.
Yeah. Like, whereas our eldest, like, they used to say if there was like a fight at school or like, you know, in the classroom, they were like, a lot of the boys run to it. He runs from it. And I'm like, thank God. But Caleb's like a run to it, you know? Like.
So my middle, what he does is he's there, but he's always on the outskirts. So I'm like, that's clever. He's just you're like, there.
Yeah. Being nosy.
But you're not involved. Yeah. This is great. But I feel like it's probably because he's instigated it. And then he's just moved away and let it all happen in front of him.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I think it's a middle thing, isn't it? But I think, I think we overthink everything and we do want to make sure that we've prepared them right and that, I just personally just want to, I try not to overthink like the building up of friendships and stuff because that happens naturally, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it happens at like every school. Yeah. Like we all work it out, don't we? Yeah. Like it doesn't, they will find their way is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
I think that's what other parents are quite worried about though, their children making friends and settling in that way because I think that's a question that I've had a lot. And on the reverse side of it, how they manage other children's behaviours and how we then sort of support our children if someone's being unkind to them. And so I think there's a lot of narrative that kind of we need to, as parents, say to our children. Like, what do you say to your children if they come home and say that a child's been unkind to them? What do you say to them? I think we've always just said, tell them to stop. If you don't like the behaviour, you tell them to stop. And if they don't, you find a trusted adult. But there are other parents that will say, you don't like something, punch them in the face.
Yeah.
And we have to navigate this.
Yeah, it's so true because kids can be brutal, but parents can be brutal. And I guess as a teacher, like you would have experienced such a different types of parents coming in to talk to you.
Yeah.
And like the way they talk to you.
I've had parents say that to me, like if they carry on, I've told them to punch them in the face. And I'm like, oh, well... I see where you're coming from. I get it. I just don't know how that's going to work in the classroom setting.
And you're playing the middleman as well.
So, so you do get it. And like bullying is a thing. And obviously, I think the word bullying is used far too flippantly now. Yeah. I think we need to really look at that with our children. So I know that they did an assembly on it on my school and my son then the next week came home and said, someone's bullying me. So we really unpicked it and was like, why do you think that? And it turned out they said like one thing. So we've really spoken about that at home and what that means. And it with bullying, it's something that happens and it reoccurs a lot.
Yeah.
But you should never stand for someone being unkind to you. So I think as long as we've told our children that, one thing I do say to my children a lot is every behaviour is a communication. So when someone is behaving a certain way, it's often because they're trying to tell you something.
Yes.
So
there's
often a child that might be really trying to be friends with someone but doesn't know how to do it. So I always try and unpick it with them. Like, what are they doing? Okay, do you think that's because they want to do this instead? Yeah. So maybe you can try this tact. Because that is true. Every bad behaviour is often because they're trying to communicate something that they can't get across.
Yeah, we've had it actually with one of ours. And someone being, it's all via text anyway, do you remember? Someone being mean, he's not bothered at all. Mm. And it turns out this kid is actually really apprehensive about going to secondary school and what's to come.
So it's sort of like fighting with other people, like it's coming out in that way.
Yeah. You do that, don't you? It comes out in different ways sometimes. Like if I know that if I'm really stressed, I can become a little bit short with my husband and he knows, he's so good at that. He just backs off and give you a wine. But yeah, exactly. I think that's why I think it's really good to look at that instead of just going into your mama bear role and going, that child will not be horrible to you. Really trying to unpick it and why are they being like that? And because that's what the teacher's got to do. And sometimes I say this from a teacher's perspective, it's quite difficult for the teacher because obviously they don't want anyone being unkind, but they know that there's some big feelings, there's some big needs that like they have to try on. And deal with as well. So that's just a really nice way of rewording it for our child to know that it's not singling them out. Yeah. It's not an attack on them. It's more so they have to look inside
the other child. I always remember getting one of our children like a book about what a good friend is. It was like the difference between, I can't remember the name of the book, but it was like what's a good friend and what's a bad friend. Because at one point I felt like he was like, so-and-so said this today. And I'd be like, what's that? But he was fine with it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I don't know if that's a nice friend, like, I don't know if a nice friend would say that, so I got this book to be like,
yeah,
you know, like learn,
yeah, to try what and a good friend is, yeah,
like kind of thing.
And that is, yeah, we're all just learning, aren't we, about it all, like, about everything. So one example of that is my middle son has a boy in his class that just calls him names all the time. But when we unpicked it, it's because that's, he's trying to play with him, and that's the only way that he knows how, and it's by coming up with these nicknames. They're not very nice nicknames.
So we've had
to really, so now we've said, I said, you have to create a boundary with him. You have to say, you can have a nickname for me, but it has to be a nickname that I like,
because
I don't like these names. So now they do have nicknames, and he now knows that he's his friend, and they play together. But sometimes it's an insecurity in them, like they don't know if they're friends, so they're trying to sort of, it's a hard one, because naturally you want to stick up for your child, but you have to kind of look a bit deeper sometimes, which I find quite hard sometimes as well.
It's
not always easy.
It is. No. It's hard. It's hard for your, like, mama bear not to come out, isn't it? But do you have any, like, back to school memories? Like, I'm trying to make us feel like real people here, like disasters of your own that have happened, like with your family, because we love a real life moment.
Talking about when I was younger, I've got one. My mum, she'll hate me for saying this. Don't watch, mum. I'll have to tell her not to watch. She drove over my foot with the car.
Brilliant. Don't. Was she rushing?
Yes. We were in a massive rush, and I went to get in the car, and she drove, and it drove over my foot.
Oh my God.
It didn't break.
No, I think I've had a car. Oh my God.
Did not break. Because it was just like slowly, just like
went
over
it, and I was like,
how?
But the shock, you know, with the shock.
You just driven over my foot.
So instantly, I think your body's trying to work out, am I in pain? Something bad happened. So obviously you scream. And then I was like, oh no, it's okay. Jumped in the car, went to school.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
We still talk about it now because I have really strong toes. So we say that's why. It's because my mum did that.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. But with my own family,
you know,
nothing
too crazy. I've forgotten so many things along the way. I think I sent my son in his uniform when it was no clothes day before.
Oh, I've done that. So I actually drove up to school and I was like, and then drove back, and they were late. They were 10 minutes late. But I remember thinking, oh, okay.
Did you get home? I know I sent him in.
Well, we lived quite close. Well, we were quite close. Oh.
This was my first. So we moved. So we lived in a different house. And then we'd like parked up in. I had baby in a sling.
Oh, this is all happening. Yeah,
middle, like by the hand. So I was running in, got him in the class, and I was like, so I had to drive home and bring him
and get back.
That's
so stressful, isn't it?
I hated it. So then we were like, okay, we need to have like rotors, and we need to have all these things written down.
But it even happens at senior school, like often if they have an own clothes day, they're like, oh, 10 people came in uniform. Horrible, like,
but still one of the questions we say, did anyone forget? And then they say the kids, and you're like, oh,
yeah, such a shame.
We like to end our podcast by asking one question. What's one thing you wish you'd known before becoming a parent?
To try and enjoy it, like every moment. Just don't stress the small stuff, I think.
Yeah.
My dad said that to me recently as well, and he said that what he wishes that he knew, and obviously he's got 5 grown-up children now, is that he wished that he just didn't sweat the small stuff when we were younger and that he enjoyed it more. And that really sits with me now, and I'm like, mine is still young, so I can do that. But he said that when he had my eldest sister, they just worried about everything. They were so strict. We weren't allowed out after 4 p.m. like strict. And so he says that now he knows more, he would wish that he'd just sort of like loosened the reins a little bit. So I think it's just sat with me that I'm like, actually try and enjoy those small moments and not stress so much about all those things they come home and tell us, that they're not always that big. We make them bigger in our heads.
True. And now that ours are older, like I feel that I would give that advice as well, that you just sweat the small stuff. And
you
have also,
to be fair, like in your defence, you don't. Like, I think I
do. I'm quite calm.
I'm
quite calm.
I still sweat the small stuff.
And it's easy for me to say now that we are at this point of parenting, but, and I know people hate when people say this, but it does go so fast.
Yeah, it does.
And then that's it. And you're like, oh, like, and also even like when they're really little, and you know, you're like, people obsess over like potty training. Like if you're a kid is not peeing in the potty properly till they're 4, like it's not the end of the world.
I think
it also
needs you once, like, when did you start?
That's what I say. Like, they're never going to be 18. They're never going to be 18 and not weighing in the toilet. Like,
well, it's a bit like breastfeeding, isn't it? Yes. I say to any new mum, that's struggling, mm. I would, in a classroom of 30 children, I would never know the child that's breastfed and the child that isn't.
Exactly.
And so my friend, one of my best friends, has just had a baby now. It's her first. And she's really struggled. And I was like, please don't spend that bubble, that beautiful newborn bubble, worrying about feeding your baby. Like, just feed them with formula, whichever way that works.
Yeah. And so true.
I think it's things like that that you go, I really try and relish those moments. Did you ever watch This Is Us?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. Killer.
I think I might watch it again just to cry every day.
Yeah.
But there's a one episode in it and they were having like a really, really bad day. And they said there's never a day that you can't turn around or something like that. Never a day that you have to just let be a bad day. So I now live by that. We went to the beach with our friends and it was like the windiest day. All three of our kids were snotty, like, going crying, and we could have easily just gone, this day's ruined. But we got in the car, we went and went to a woods where it was all shaded and we had the best day.
Yeah.
But I think if I hadn't have watched that episode then, we would have gone home and I would have been in a mood. We'd driven to the beach. It was the worst day. Everyone was moaning.
Yeah.
But because we just went, no, actually, we're going to go and change this day and make it good.
Yeah, that's I love that.
Yeah,
that when mine were really little, like we had three under 5 years old, when it was like all kicking off, like chaos, you know, he's crying, he needs to sleep, but he can't sleep. You know, it's just like really care. I used to just always put them in the car. I was like, get in the car. And then I'd go to like drive through like McDonald's or like I'd even just get a coffee. But it's almost like in the car, I don't know, then the baby would fall asleep because they needed to fall asleep. Yeah. And then like, I don't know, just like make it all better.
Yeah, it's just that change in environment.
Yes,
isn't it?
We just need to get out. Like, just get out.
Is that the same for you now with older children though? Because I'm going to be honest, getting in the car is like World War III sometimes.
Oh, No, it probably isn't.
Does get easier, doesn't it? Yeah, we just do always get out, even though we've got a lovely house now and everything they could ever want. You still like, do you know what? We just need to go and run in a field in the woods.
Yeah, that's true.
On the bikes.
True. Mm-hmm.
You don't walk around the car like you used to, you know, when they're that age, you just get them in the car.
Yeah, that's holiday
that's
of
like. Take your time getting in.
We're still in that a little bit. Yeah. My 8 and 7 year old, they just get in and just the close contact.
Fight. Yeah.
Does that stop for boys?
Well, if the three of them in the back, no, there's always that.
Still.
We've still got a car seat as well.
But they get a lot stronger.
Honestly, the fighting just, I can't.
Yeah, it's intense.
We let them have it now. They just
we do kind of like turn a blind eye to it a bit. Because they never actually injured each other.
They never throw full on punches.
Yeah, no, mine do.
Just like,
no, my middle does.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on. I absolutely love your content. And I'll link everything in the description for you guys as well to follow. I really recommend it. Just like gives you some nuggets of ideas of like, oh, I can actually do that. And I love that it's like stuff around your house, because I think often parents, you're like, you think I need to spend all this money on Amazon getting all these learning tools and then they don't even necessarily like it, whereas you can get a bit of cardboard like you say and make these really creative like fun things to do. I'll link all that below, and thank you so much for watching and for listening. Don't forget to follow if you are enjoying it, and we'll see you in our next one. Bye guys.
Bye.